DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast.
I thought she was gonna do it. I was waiting.
Nope.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
This long silence brought
Danny
to you by
Danny and I are just
Dickory.
Looking at each other, and I'm just waiting for Samantha. Hi!
I got the intro this time. Fuckers.
Well, welcome to Not Another Podcast. It's the three of us goofballs.
Yeah.
Yay!
And so did you guys see that the Oscar nominations came down today?
I only saw that I think the only one I noticed was Rose City Comic Con had posted up that the Joker's up for like six.
Yeah, Joker's got some. The guys who did The Missing Link, the animation studio, which is based here in Portland.
Yeah, Lotka.
They got a couple again.
Well, maybe Avengers shouldn't have gotten it for Missing Link, but you know, that's okay.
No, Kubo they should have gotten.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Kubo they should have got a lot.
But already the internet's losing its mind because once again, there's no diversity. Apparently, all the directors that were nominated were all male.
Okay.
So here's my question. and I was thinking about this on the way home. I know diversity, especially right now, diversity is a big thing. And,
uh-huh.
And my question is, should the Academy nominate a film or a director or something based solely on diversity, or should they base it because of the actual film's worth?
It's hard to say because honestly, again, we're dealing with an art form, in my opinion, if
yeah.
y'all don't mind me taking the first crack at this. When dealing,
the soapbox is yours.
Yeah, thank you.
Watch it. There's a hole in it.
Oh, fucking real. Jesus Christ. What do you do
cracking.
This thing? Anyway, the thing I have a hard standing with is film is very much like music in that it's an art form. So some people are going to get it. Some people aren't. Some people are going to love it for reasons that are their own. You can never make a perfect film any more than you can make a perfect song. If it's unanimously loved, then it's either no longer an art form and it's just become a monolith of perfection. Yeah, it becomes a trend. And in that, it's no longer an art. So when judging the Academy and things like that, and let's be honest, I give Fat Roast a fuck less about what the Academy has to say about movies in general. I like what I like because I like it.
Well, and that should be everyone. Everyone right. should like what they like and fuck whatever.
Exactly.
But my
so,
question is,
if you do that, though, if you basically go out of your way to say, well, I'm going to involve a larger diversified race or sex in this Academy so everybody's happy, It doesn't fall under the same quantified realms. I mean, granted, if you put more diversified people on the Academy board who were actually involved in it, and maybe their choices would involve more diversified, you know, films in general, then that would be fine because then you're getting recognition from an Academy that is diversified. If you just say a bunch of white dudes are saying, well, we got to include these films because...
Yeah.
Then it takes away from the value of the film in and of itself. Out of sheer principle, they're not doing it because of an art. They're doing it because they feel required to do so.
And that's the point that I was going to make. I feel like... And I don't know how the Academy judges films...
Poorly.
And how a film...
Yeah, true.
No, again, clearly the films that probably should get awards never do because they're again, I don't know what the quantifiers
levels.
Are.
Yeah.
But I do know that typically artier films get the nominations.
Yeah, typically.
And again, which is fine.
Well, It's what but they the, like.
I feel like it takes away from movie making as a whole.
If you're pandering to the Academy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I think that a film should be nominated because it meets certain criteria that the Academy deems, and not because, oh, it had a woman director, we got a, or it had a black cast. So
exactly,
we have to,
yeah.
I feel like this is the one place that the diversity argument should not happen.
I would argue
because
that...
because we're talking about an art form, not...
Right. And again, this is where I would say it's not necessarily that the films don't belong because they don't meet a criteria. What I would suggest is that the people who are on the Academy are the ones who diversify in and of themselves. They basically, you know, diversify their panel of critique and the people who actually make these decisions. And by doing so, you would probably get a much vast, you know, a plethora of different feelings on the movies. I guess I'm saying that correctly. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Fuck me. But it's basically, yeah, if people want to see a better spectrum of diversity amidst filmmakers,
they need to get on the Academy.
Exactly. They need to basically do away with the old way of doing it because, honestly, it's apparently making people super butthurt. Now, if you have every person of walk, creed, race, sex, whatever, on the panel of the Academy, and they still don't choose those diversified films, then they got no ground to stand on. It's like those movies...
He's a shitty director.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, your story sucked. I'm sorry. We didn't like it. You know, and that
see,
would be
that's
okay.
What I feel, that's what I feel is happening here, and I don't understand why people are getting so butthurt because a certain director or a certain movie didn't make it. The Academy makes it, I'm assuming the Academy makes its choices based on the quality of the work, not who made it.
Right.
The Academy makes its choices based on who pays them the most.
That's
well,
fair.
That too.
That is absolutely fair. And again,
it's
don't get me wrong,
bullshit.
The
Thank
system's
you for
broke.
Destroying my wonderful fantasy little world.
Sure. Well, and again, I understand that the accolades of being an Oscar winner or, you know, any of these big awards that are out there is a major help to somebody's career. So if you, you know, let's say, like Jordan Peele, for instance.
Okay.
When he won for Get Out, or I think it was Get Out. Yeah, it was Get Out. When he won for that, a lot of movies that had the same production crew, not even him, just producers, would label Get Out on their new movies as from the producers of Get Out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So everyone gets drawn to it. So it is a massive moneymaker if you win. If you're the guy that stands up there and does the accepting speech, your career goes up a notch. You're worth more money. You get paid more money. You get much more accolades. People are much more drawn to you for your projects. You have more freedom as an actor or a director or whatever to move your dream project along because of these accolades. And I think that's why people are getting so butthurt about it is because they're seeing their... filmmaker,
well,
their directors, and their actors not getting those accolades because a panel of old white dudes didn't like it.
Yeah. And, again,
and I get it.
I get it. I understand how all that works. I'm just saying that as an art form, if a woman director and a man director put out their films and the man director's film touches the Academy more, or in Samantha's case, pays the Academy more,
right?
Then we as the public, who are not even involved in the Academy at all,
no,
shouldn't be butthurt and maybe look at the female director and go, well, you should have put out a better film or paid more to the Academy.
Well, either way, honestly, and that's where I would disagree. Honestly, for me, I genuinely believe that much like anything else in an art form, you should go off of box office. So, asses in seats. How many people went and saw this film? Okay, so we'll look at the top grossers of the year, the top 20.
Well, if that's the case, then that would completely then fucking Avengers and Star Wars would win every fucking year.
And why wouldn't they? They're fucking good movies.
But because those are the movies the public wants to see. The Academy, however...
Yeah, that's not the point of the Oscars and the awards and
exactly.
all that shit. Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, for like, you know, Best Picture or Best Actor, it's like, who's being talked about the most in the media? You know, who did the Oh My God performance
well,
that got
why
all
they have,
the raving reviews from?
That's why they have the Golden Globes.
And honestly, you're not wrong. You're not wrong because a lot of people will view the Golden Globes as like...
Or the People's Choice.
Yeah, you got People's Choice Award. Yeah. Congratulations. And don't get me wrong, it's still an accolade and you will get
but
a little bump.
But it's Oscar level.
Yeah, Oscar level means you are the top of your fucking game.
But really in this day and age, the People's Choice... God, we're almost arguing politics here. The People's Choice should be the industry standard. The
it
Academy
should.
Is old and broken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the same as fucking...
Our governmental process?
Electoral College.
Yeah.
What? Who said
what?
That?
You shut your filthy whore mouth.
The Electoral College, you guys.
But again...
You know, she's not wrong.
No.
It really is. But I mean... So I'm just saying, look... If this year the Oscar nods, you don't like them because there's not enough diversity.
Uh-huh. Don't watch them.
Maybe go see that director's work next year, and don't go see the other ones.
Well, the sucky part
because
about
I do
it,
know they do take some of that into account, but it's like
well, if you get nominated, it's something.
Yeah,
but they're also butthurt about the fact that there is nobody even nominated.
Oh yeah, and that's what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm talking about. It feels to me like if your director didn't even get nominated this year, then do your best next year to go see everything they do.
Well,
show them your support by going to see their stuff and giving them money.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And don't you know? Get me wrong. That's really what it comes down to on our end of things.
Yeah.
If
that's
you
all we
love
can do.
And support a filmmaker or a film in general, go see it in the theater. Pay the money to go watch it on the big screen.
Yep.
When it comes out on video, buy the movie.
Yeah.
Talk about the movie on social media platforms. Share things about it that you like. And the more buzz you create, even on small case social media, will boost their revenue
yep.
by default. So that is doing them way more of a favor than bitching at the Academy for not nomming them because now you just look like a
fact.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks. And don't get me wrong. It's not a fair system whatsoever. But I would say that if you wanted to fix it, you got to diversify the Academy. And if that still doesn't work, support your artist.
Yeah.
In every
yeah.
way possible.
If your director is doing a really art house film, find your art house theater and go see it.
Fuck real.
So.
True change starts from the top, so.
Okay, rant over. Give me my soapbox.
But I was so comfy.
No, I'm sorry.
I got my big toe in the hole and everything.
So Samantha had a show.
Yes.
And I saw on Facebook another episode of the Top Notch Tangler. I didn't get a chance to listen to it today, though. I'm really sorry.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Regale.
I did
Sam.
Notice. I did want to say though. I saw your picture with it. Those were some nice looking boots you were wearing.
Bookmark the fuck out of that.
And she can never wear those again.
No, now she just rubs it in and it polishes. It's nice.
The blue ones? Wait, what are you talking about?
You had some black boots on?
Yeah.
They looked nice.
My green boots?
I don't know. I just noticed that you were wearing some boots. They looked nice. I paid you a compliment, and now you're making it awkward.
Making
okay,
it weird,
but
Sam.
Thanks. No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, when an episode of Radio Hour goes out, we actually performed that episode live a year ago.
Oh, so a year ago you wore those boots.
Yeah.
A year ago, that shit was hot.
What boots are you talking about?
James, find the post and comment.
There.
Are they... The blue one?
Top fucking comment. There it is.
I'm
crazy.
So confused. Because the most recent picture that came out was just, I had jeans and a pair of rain boots on. Mm. Like, I don't know what's happening.
They Waterproof were a little pointy to be rain boots, but they could have been rain boots. I don't know.
What the
now
fuck?
Now I can't find the picture.
Ah, oh, god damn okay, it.
That's...
Wow, that's hot.
I don't know who that is, but that's awesome.
Got the shirt open and everything.
Hey, look, there's Samantha in a Christmas sweater.
Woo! Nice. Nice.
Are you guys on our Instagram?
Nope, no, on your Facebook.
Oh,
we're Facebook stalking
okay,
you.
I don't run our Facebook, so.
Ah, oh, jeez.
But there's plenty to bookmark on.
Wait,
here.
You run the Instagram? So is that yes. why I have seen less and less pictures of you on there?
Well, yep. I can't just put pictures of me on our Instagram.
Yes,
you can.
But, and I'm usually the one taking the photos. So
and goddammit, I want some more pictures of Sam. You know how hard it is to bookmark to your cohorts? This is bullshit.
Then just bookmark off my personal Instagram.
I've already done that.
He needs fresh spank material.
Running out of spank bank here, dear. You gotta set... Come on, Sam.
Jeez. All been done, radio hour. I don't know what photo you're talking about.
Everyone's
now I can't find your Instagram. I'm looking for it because I want to see what pictures are up there.
This is very fucking many
another
of
dumb
Sam.
Episode where we Facebook stalk Samantha.
Yes. Not that I don't do this often.
Are they knee-high boots?
I don't know. Your jeans are covering them. I just saw that they look nice.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll just say that.
The there you go. Holy shit. That's all
Christ.
We were going for.
Well,
learn how to take the fucking
about.
Compliment, Sam. Jeez.
There's another person wearing boots. It's not even me.
I can't well, wait to meet you in person, Sam.
That's a different picture, but that's the same. It's going to get all kinds of sexy.
Oh,
awkward.
Fuck yes. I can't wait. Well, I can. I'm going to have to, but...
You just hold on.
Just a few more months.
Just a few.
I'm going to look at all 533 timeline photos.
So James will be gone for the rest of this episode. So other than that, Sam, how you doing?
No, I wanted to ask about the show because I know they had a show this weekend. So
yes, we did. We did have a show over the weekend. And I wrote a sketch in it. And when I'm a little bit of a needy artist.
No.
What?
What? No.
Take a sip of my drink here.
James, you weren't supposed to say anything.
Shut up, Danny. Hey, look, there's a great shot of Samantha. Mouth wide open.
Oh, yeah.
That got creepy. That wasn't even like fun awkward. That was just straight up call the police.
Yeah. fuck yeah.
Oh, look, there's Samantha all dressed up.
Ooh, looking stylin'. Nice hair.
Got her notebook all.
Looking like she can't find her page. Good one.
She
good
knows
one.
Where she's at though.
She's just making it look good for everybody.
There's the Wonder Woman pose.
No, that...
Oh, that is the top-notch Tangler pose, thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a sassy biatch stance right there.
Wonder Woman ain't got nothing on top-notch Tangler. Except maybe the truth lasso.
So tell me about the show, Sam.
Yes, anyway.
We want to hear about the show.
Every time I try to write something funny, I never think it's funny or that it's going to be funny. I'm always terrified it's not going to get any laughs. And I wrote this sketch, and we did three commercials, and they are out on our feed. It's called Life of a Voice Actor. And it's a sketch based around reality television. So IABD is bringing you a reality television show, and it's the wives of voice actors.
The Real Housewives of voice actors.
Everyone's spouse is a voice actor, and it's the hijinks and shenanigans that they get into. And people responded really well to the commercials, and Jimmy, our owner, creator, producer person, asked me to write a full sketch for it. So I wrote a full sketch, and I was really terrified that it was just going to flop, because that's just who I am. And it was just... It was so funny. When we did the read-through, we could barely get through it because we were laughing so hard. And when you give it – because I can read it and be like, I think this is going to play. This is going to be funny. Okay. And then Jimmy does the final pass and edit. He'll add or take away, and he gets final say in how it goes out. So he did a few edits, and then we went back and forth a little bit, and then cool, we have the sketch. And then – but once you breathe life into it with the voices and the actors come in, like it made it 10 times better. You know, because they're the ones who are going to land the jokes. You know, I know how the joke's supposed to go in my head, but then you have the actors that are going to bring it in. And I am one of those. I perform in my own sketch, because,
A little it's self-serving. All about Samantha.
Just a little self-serving, you know.
No,
I won't say nothing. It's okay.
No, I can totally relate to this, because at writing Homestead, I write, and I've told you, Danny. I write with the actor's voice in mind. I write to their speech patterns, mostly because it's easier for me as a director to get the kind of delivery I want.
Yeah.
Danny, Travis, and a few others that I work with, super easy. But I've also worked with some of these people long enough that they know what I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
The next couple of episodes coming out, I have a lot of fresh people. So it's like I get so comfortable working with certain people writing for them that when these new people come in, it's like, okay, I have to go all the way back to the basics and almost, you know, get them to imitate what I'm getting. So
right.
I can get what I hear in my head that I'm putting on the page, you know.
Well, for one of the characters, there's been a voice that I've been wanting to use for a while, and I just didn't have the right place for it. And then...
Was it Calypso? Did you use Calypso?
No, but I created this character or these characters for Wives of Voice Actors, and I was like, this is perfect. This is what I'm using it for. And then that was, you know, I mean, we all cast ourselves in some things, and I wasn't planning on it, but I was like, nope, I want to use this voice. I haven't gotten to use it yet, and I was very happy. So
do the voice.
Hi, guys. You hungry?
Are you doing Pee Wee Herman?
It's not Pee Wee Herman. It's the girl from,
Granda from Gravity Falls?
My name is Emily Cooper, and I'm a voice actor, and, so.
It sounds like Pee Wee Herman.
Not Pee Wee Herman, but you know, in Family Guy, when Peter goes and meets his ex-girlfriend who never washed her hand, and she's feeding the poop that he left behind. You hungry?
You hungry? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's better when it's louder, but Ryan is streaming upstairs, so you can hear it in full force.
Yeah, it's your house. You do what you want.
Fuck real.
That's true. It is. It is my house. He just lived here.
Yeah.
I just allow him to live here.
Uh-huh.
Toads. Occupy space.
Breathe my oxygen.
Don't look at me!
Serve my needs when necessary.
Knowing there's a whole world out there willing.
Uh-huh.
If he gets out of line, all she's got to do... Look, I can give Danny a call right now. That sounded half horrified, half humored.
Yeah, exactly.
Half excited, too, if I might
be. A little bit, yeah.
I'm just saying, it sounded like...
I'm excited and scared all at the same time.
But isn't that the best sort of excitement when there's a little bit of fear in there?
I'm wet and dry. How does this work?
It's like puddles on the road. Just
I just grossed myself out.
This is going to feel really good and hurt all at the same time.
It's going to be like sandpaper and Dove lotion all at the same time.
How is it chafing and slippery? Title the episode.
I'm just going to lean to the left. Is that okay? I'm just going to lean to the left.
Yeah.
But anyway, my needy ass got lots of laughs, and that made me really happy. And
well, good.
Chafing and slippery. The mental image is just.
Yeah, it's like a serrated blade missing teeth.
Oh, ow! Oh, ow!
And we've lost James. Well, that's awesome, Sam. I'm glad to hear that your jokes landed as you were hoping they would.
I don't know why she doubts. Her jokes
I don't
always
either.
Land. Except for that
well,
one.
It's
but we're
different
not...
being in the moment well, yeah. than when you're scripting something, too.
Yeah.
But you guys, yes, I can make jokes. Like, I know, like, I am, quote, the funny girl, and I...
Well, being the only girl, I mean, you know.
Yes,
well,
kind of.
The list is...
I mean, even at work, like, there was a guy that I used to work with who would get in trouble for everything he says, and he looked at me, he goes, okay, I don't mean this in any sort of bad way, but how is it that you can get away with some of the shit you say, but I can't get away with anything? And I said, dude, Boops. Honestly, it's because I'm the funny girl.
Yeah.
I get away with saying so much shit.
I want to sound like a
really, you just look at him and look at yourself and go, boobs.
Yeah,
boobs. Duh. I mean, fuck. Come on, dude. Get with the program.
Get yourself a set of boobs.
And some ladies' trousers.
No, I actually... no, again, when you're writing and you think of a joke, like, again, Homestead is a fairly serious show, but I write jokes in there to lighten it up.
You need levity and balance.
Because human nature is, in tense situations, you either laugh or you cry.
Yeah. And
for
most of the
of
time...
these people... So I wrote a joke that... What? Hey, hang on, guys.
Hold the on.
Wait.
Hello?
Holy shit!
Is this a private dance or can anybody party?
Fucking join, baby! Holy shit! As I live and breathe, I get to be on a show with Big Jim. Make sure this fucking thing saves James.
What's going on, y'all?
Holy crap.
Okay, I gotta figure out how to add Samantha on, because when I picked you up, it put her on.
Oh, boo!
I know, this is fucking stupid.
That's the internet being right, is what that is.
Well, you're not wrong. But
no.
You're still an asshole.
Fucking Big Jim.
Wow. Hiya, sweetheart.
Oh, baby, how you doing?
I'm doing much better now. Shit, here I was sitting back bookmarking Sam's photos on Facebook, and I got a Big Jim showing up.
It was fucking creepy.
Oh, it's on now.
Now his pants have come off.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah.
Come off.
Free burden, free balling, dude.
As the Lord intended.
Damn right. How are you holding up, sweetheart?
You know, I got some shit. You know, we'll get to it when James figures out the world.
The interwebs.
But yeah, I got some things are cooking, a bubbling, if you will. So
that sounds like gastric distress.
Oh fuck, man!
I recommend kaopectate, bro.
I forgot how sturdy Pennsylvania food is.
A lot of fiber. A lot of fiber.
Oh fuck, and carbs and like
oh,
just.
Geez. Mm. You're speaking my language, dude.
Well, I mean, it sounds good in theory, but...
Just doesn't feel good on the backside?
The spices, there's very little spices when it comes to... Like, salt and pepper are not spices.
Well, they're staples.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Gotta get you some cayenne pepper. I'm gonna ship that shit out to you or something, man.
Yes, we've got them both!
No fucking way.
Jim...
What's up, girl?
Jim! How you doing, boo? Oh, I cannot even take myself seriously. I'm so sorry I said that.
don't apologize for a goddamn thing.
That's what she followed up, chafing and slippery.
Yes.
Oh, for Jim, it's always slippery.
Yeah.
Can we isolate that? Please tell me that was recorded by someone.
Yes, yep. It was recorded.
It is on the show.
Isolate it and send it to you.
You caught us.
Thank you, sir.
Caught us in the mid show.
That is the name of the episode. It's always slippery for Jim.
Always slippery for Jim. Yes.
For Samantha, well, I'll say she always comes in hard.
I do. You got to be ready for it.
Does that American power yoga all over it.
Oh, yep. My God. I am so happy right now.
Oh, shit. The only person we're fucking missing is Bryce at this point.
Fuck him. We got him.
Bryce is dead now.
And the Bryce power struggle quickly just dissolves. Just.
Like Wile E. Coyote getting pushed off the cliff. Just nope.
God damn it, Jim. How the hell are you, man?
I'm good.
Yay.
I'm good. I'm, I'm above ground.
That's always a
bonus.
Start.
Bonus.
You know, but yeah, I spoke to James before the end of 2019.
Yes.
Nobody got to hear it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, so we had an episode where Jim was on. Bryce and I and Jim, the three amigos, got back together, and we had a great talk. It was a great episode. Jim had us laughing.
Solid gold.
Yep. And when the show was over,
James fucked it up.
No. I still, because here's what happened. So I saved the episode.
Watch as a cornered animal reels like, and defends himself.
I will kick your nuts so hard that you spit them out.
You'd have to ask my wife for them back first.
So yeah. We recorded the episode. We had audio. When I saved it, it looked like it normally does.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited 2 days, and I opened it up to edit it and get it all ready. And it was an hour of nothing. The full hour was there, but there was no audio. So I'm like, fuck real, what happened? So I called Bryce, because every time Bryce is on, he records. So I said, dude, do you have the audio? He's like, of course. And he opened it up. There was nothing. So what we figured is, and what now I'm terrified of, is when this is done, I'm going to save it. Half the audio is going to be there until Jim comes on.
No, you're going to produce it. You're going to finish it. You're going to put it on fucking line today. Today.
Don't let it sit. Don't let it fucking...
Don't let it marinate.
No, because we've discussed this. When you and Jim get together...
Yeah, Jim's Luddite powers show up.
So this episode is just for us. No one's going to hear it.
Fuck.
But we get to talk to Jim, and that's all that matters.
From a regular show, how exactly?
Okay, so
first
question for Big Jim, because I've seen inklings.
Inklings.
Big and Loud podcast.
Well, here's the thing. I did not consult with Don at all, which I probably should have done, I think, before, like, relaunching something that's been, like, dead and dormant for, goddamn, I didn't even realize how long it had been. But I just was, like, sitting around one day on my Tuchus. Well, for Christmas, I got a Cool Edit Pro, so I just started, fucking around with some stuff. And I'm like, well, now I just don't have any excuses at all. Well, I haven't had any excuses for the longest time, but
nope.
I'm like, if I don't just jump in and just make blind commitments, then this thing's probably never gonna happen. So I'm like, fuck it. Let's throw something out on the internet and see if there's any interest. And immediately people were popping up out of nowhere from Portland, from PA, from all points in between. Saying they want some more Big and Loud. So I talked to Don, and he's just like, fuck yes. So I've been putting together some audio, and we're looking to maybe start like a soft relaunch maybe in February sometime. We're not quite – we don't have anything nailed up. We've never been fucking organized. It's just fast and loose.
As it happens.
Having been on their show, he's 100% correct.
Well, having him been on this show, I mean, the standards are, correct. immediately.
It's like sex with a juggalo. It's fast. It's ugly. You regret it immediately.
Yeah, and there's no looking at yourself in the mirror in the next day. Yeah.
During.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of self pity sex going on there. Okay, I gotcha.
I am so psyched. That's one of the few podcasts that are no longer that I've truly missed. And it really is because Jim and Don get together and they just – it's so hard to describe.
Are they worse amounts of human being than we?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
Well, then I'm
100%.
In. I'm on board, dude.
We've actually uplifted Jim.
Well, that's good.
Ish.
More of a cursory step, I would say. A sidestep, if you will.
But, no, hands down, my favorite episode still to this day is...
Jesus.
You know where I'm going with this. Was an episode titled Fondled Out of Hollywood.
Oh, Jesus, I forgot the title.
And the entirety of the episode is Don trying to convince Jim to sue Harrison Ford in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, because of the witness debacle. Yes. Yeah.
At one point, Don even had Jim convinced that it was Harrison Ford who
Jim, are you feeling okay to talk about this? Is this a touchy subject, buddy?
Oh, don't use the word touchy.
sorry, my bad. A feels kind of thing. Oh, shit, my bad.
Can't use that one again.
Can you just rub this right with...
No. Fuck! You're using all his trigger words.
Show me on the doll where he podcasted you.
it sucks because it's one of my favorite episodes. I don't have it.
I didn't touch Big Jim. I don't care. No, you do.
Get out of my bar.
Get off this picnic bench.
It all originated from a long story about me as a little kid being an extra on the movie set, and it wasn't even Harrison Ford. That was the thing, but Don just fixated on it, and so I'm like playing completely into the Don Frost web, which we've all fallen into at some point in time. And he just weaves this tapestry of like lies and mistruths that are so ridiculous that over time your resistance just wears down and you start to believe it.
You're just like, oh, fuck it.
And it was all centered around Don getting half of $70 million.
Yeah. Well, by the end, I'm like, okay, so let's just say I sue him, you know, and like, so I'm already. Don's already got like an attorney on the phone.
No, he was going to represent you. He was from the offices of Frost and Frost and Frost and Frost and Speedy.
And Speedy. Oh, Jesus.
It is hands down the funniest podcast I've ever. It is literally 45 minutes of Don convincing Jim
that
not only did he get fondled, he got fondled on screen for the world to see.
And nobody cared.
And it was Harrison Ford who did it.
Oh.
And Don's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then at one point he just went, wait a minute, stop. That didn't happen.
Touchy subject.
Let's just say.
And then Jim negotiating the fee, the lawyer fee.
Yeah, because as soon as I took the bait, which I knew I shouldn't have done, Don immediately like starts trying to withdraw his like pound of flesh, so to speak, from no one, just creating a victim and a villain. I think that was where the villain scenario came from. I'm like, you are being so evil right now, and I saw the other side of Don for the first time, and I liked what I saw. I
want to sound like a queer or nothing, but you're really hot right now.
I for one am looking forward to the very first episode of those two
fucking
bring
it
together, and just see because their conversations.
And to our president of Not
so
Another Podcast
stupid.
Fan Club, check it out, dude.
Please do.
Because, yes, we have a president of the fan club.
We don't have a fan club, but we do have a
president. No, we have a fan club, but it is a fan club of one, and there is a president over himself.
What's the other term for that? Stalker.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Heard it here, folks. Yeah, I mean, but we like it, damn it. When you lose the stalker, the fame goes down.
Yeah. It starts off lighthearted enough, you know, a couple of comments in the comments section, a like or two on Facebook.
Yeah, innocent enough.
Direct message. Yeah, and then before you know it, you know, one thing leads to another, and he's hunting you for sport.
Well, I mean, that's what you do.
Jim speaks from experience.
Well, yeah.
He's hunted many celebrities for sport.
Well, yeah. Have you caught any yet?
That's what happened to Nina Savary.
Oh, we got the wily old Harrison Ford running across the savannah. We got to sneak up nice and quick, but he's really attracted to young Amish boys.
Well, you've seen his wife. He's more attracted, I would say, to the scarecrows, more than likely.
It's all farmhand, lad. It's all farmhand.
Just going to throw out this bag of bones to lure him out.
See, do you think, like, skeletons get him hard? Let's go on a non sequitur here. What could, I mean, Harrison Ford, he's a handsomer, older gentleman, you know, I'm secure enough to say. Samantha, would you say that Harrison Ford is not like he's not a Steve Buscemi. He's obviously, he's not George Clooney, but
he's an attractive man. Yes.
Okay. Do you think he could do better than Calista Flockhart?
No.
No. Really?
He's
Indiana Jones.
He was Han Solo, and he was Indiana Jones. And let's just we're hunting Harrison Ford.
Those days.
We'll just wave the script for Indy 5 in his face, you know.
He is an attractive older gentleman. He has, I think he's aged pretty decently to a point. I don't know. He's very attractive. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe she just makes him laugh. She's not unattractive herself. She's just like bulbs.
Like by standing between him and like a light bulb so he can see how the magic of the human body works? Like,
right. Look, I just think she does things that other Hollywood actresses won't.
That's debatable.
Anal.
Anally?
Heard Tori Spelling's into that.
Samantha didn't even hesitate.
Anal.
Anal.
Anal. Look, Menstrata can smell them from a mile of fuck away.
What, easily. Anal?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
They're neighbors.
They are very close. Very close neighbors.
You know? Look, my okay.
A slip from the pink right into the sink, you know?
You can smell it across the taint. I mean,
whew. Been having that Pennsylvania like food again, haven't you?
The taint is like the neutral zone, I would say.
It's a no-fly zone, for sure.
Yeah. If it were Islander, it would be like hollow ground. Like, you could not sword fight on a taint, I would say. Or you shouldn't. I don't think there's a law.
Yeah, it shouldn't. Yeah, that's the real key.
Pick the books real quick. I'm feeling like Smart Money says there's no laws anywhere that says sword fighting on taints. Has it met the legal system yet? Yet.
Okay. Yet.
Just wait until Frost.
Did
Frost,
any of us
Frost,
have any
Frost.
Idea this episode was going to be this sexy?
Coming up, talking about how the taint is the neutral zone. I'll be honest with you, I did not see my day going in this direction, but I am not disappointed with it.
Okay, so just to continue on that path.
Proceed, sir. Proceed.
Okay. So we'll say your Jennies, your tackle and your
low hangers,
bobbers, if you will.
Yep. Yep.
That's like the Federation side of the neutral zone.
Clearly.
Anus, sorry, Klingon.
Totally.
I feel it's more.
You're
of
only
like
saying
a,
that because it's brown, isn't it?
Wow, that's a heavy accusation you're lobbing.
I think calling it a Klingon is really, really funny.
Well, yeah.
Is it not a euphemism for like when poop gets stuck to like
and
you know
grass
whatever,
and back falls
fur,
pollen, finally does.
You know, yeah. So I would say.
Oh,
Klingon sex sounds like it's all anal. Like, everybody. Like, to jerk off, you have to, like, have a fist up.
It's on. Rough and painful.
Yeah.
And as a glorious.
It's the Klingon way.
Glory to your house.
If you're going to do it with honor.
Clearly.
I think maybe then the ridges on their forehead is so they could self-helm themselves, like, put their own head. Like the Klingons, the Vulcans have Ponfar, which is every 7 years, obviously. They can go and fuck. Just, like, get their fuck on.
Pretty sure Klingons then, do it daily.
So, yeah. They do, like, a meditation where they...
At least
they
once an hour.
Themselves.
Well, I mean, you got to have some time to yourself.
That's also how Klingon women decide if they're going to date a Klingon man. The bumpier their forehead, they know the bumpier the penis.
So who can boop the chute a little bit better and clear out
Wait
the old gutter?
For her pleasure.
Bore out the back end, you know? Yeah.
Bore out the back end. Wow. You should write, like, Klingon, like, wedding notifications for people.
All I know is if this cascades through the universe and Klingons are a thing, that line is now going to be at
They're
wedding ceremonies.
Earth just for that.
Quiver and fear, carbon-based life forms.
We're about to bore out the back. Help. Yeah. Ooh. There's going to be some people out there.
And Nook-Nook are joining in a warrior ceremony. As sexual combatants, they will lay waste
to each other's waste.
Nice. Nice.
Get over here, human. It's time to shmoo-shmoo.
Shmoo-shmoo and bore out the back end. Woo! Yeah. So Ric Flair, apparently a Klingon. Didn't know if you know that.
He's pro-Klingon for some time. Well, before did he pass away? Is Ric Flair still alive?
Oh, he's still alive.
Is he?
Okay.
Barely. He's holding on, goddammit. The Nature Boy ain't done yet.
Goddamn right. And so one more thing about the taint while I got you here.
Fun fact.
There's a medication that I've seen commercials for that has, like, stopped me in my tracks more than a couple of times. It's killing me that I forgot the name of it. But one of the side effects were one that I'd never heard before, which was a rash or tearing of the perineum, which is the fancy doctor word for your taint. So whatever fucking problem this medication may or may not solve for you, the downside is you got a torn taint.
Yeah, you're going to tear your taint. Well, Jim, if you're really curious about the name, just look at the bottle, dude. I'm sure you got it around there somewhere. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
No secrets here, buddy. Have you torn your taint lately?
Have you seen my Instagram? I think that's about
I have.
You're Jim, welcome. You're welcome then.
I appreciate you.
I have, Jim, and as a friend, I gotta say, you gotta do something about that shit. It's out of control.
Serious, man.
First of all, I have sent a GoPro where no GoPro has gone before. The angle of light
has gone and probed before.
You would think I am from Pennsylvania. I would point that out. There's a lot of fucking fire in the sky over here.
Mm-hmm.
By sky, I mean anus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Taints, buttholes, Klingon penises and ridges. God damn, this shit's hot.
You know what we got to do? Since we got Samantha coming out in October, we got to do a GoFundMe or something to get Jim out here at the
real.
Same fucking time.
Yeah.
That would be really
epic.
Cool.
I'm just saying, Jim, you know, I'm just saying, buddy. I will make you a brisket.
Reward. Oh, my God.
I will make
Patreon
you a brisket that you will be proud of, sir.
Hand churned brisket.
Mm-hmm. Just the way you like it, baby. I'll marinate it every way you want it. Bring it over here, buddy.
All sweet and salty on the inside.
Born out the ass end.
Damn right. Born out the back end of that fucking meat, telling you.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat at Danny's that day.
Yes, you will. It'll be fucking delicious. You will eat it and you will smile and go,
Did you marinate this? I more brined it.
Yeah, I I basted it, and then I let it brine, and then I pulled it out, and I basted it again, and then I cooked it.
Using the friction method.
Uh-huh. Andy Dan's confusing meat.
Dance and Dan's meats and tans, always with the special brine.
It's an erection that punches itself.
Yes, it does.
Just playing the hits, y'all.
No, seriously, Jim, you need to come out here, dude.
That is another goal for 2020.
Good man.
October.
It's my favorite month. It was the month that I came to Portland originally back in 2001.
Thanks.
It's time to come full circle, my friend.
Fuck real.
Fuck real, indeed. I feel it's time to kind of climb back into the podcasting seat and have a little fun. So I'll be popping back in here with you guys from time to time whenever you'll have me.
Anytime.
Dude, at this rate, you realize that this show has, like, the only reason we've been able to make some people smile is because we still have Sam. The rest of this shit, it's like, we've been waiting for you, dude. Come on.
Yeah, every week it's just, can we get Jim, please? Cause...
Can Jim come back? Can Jim come
out
and play?
I can't carry this shit by myself anymore.
I am so sorry, Sam. It's been so long.
Training.
She's been done with this show for years.
Yeah.
They never prepared me for this.
The horrors of podcasting.
They have flashbacks every day.
Down the BFW just like pounding drinks. Like, how much action she see? She's been doing the podcast for over fucking 5 years now.
She has PTSD.
PPSD.
PTSD.
Post-podcast stress disorder.
Yeah. Post-podcast stress disorder, I think.
Yeah. Gives you a weird tick when you're at work, you know, just... Oh, God damn it. Not a Monday now!
Except for Sam, it's a full body convulsion.
Oh, fuck!
That's called an orgasm.
You're welcome.
Hold on, if we can isolate Samantha saying that also. I can
just cut and splice.
That is the level of inflection that every woman has told me about the orgasm I gave her. She's just like, yeah, no, it was a mind scrambler. You are so much more
outstanding. You are impressive.
I should become a lesbian, as I will never find a man as big as you.
Win points for the Rick and Morty, buddy.
Samantha's actually writing these down.
Yes.
Haven't used that one.
Going to tell Ryan today.
100
The pleasure was so immense, I could not possibly ever have sex again.
You have destroyed my badge.
I cannot sustain
it.
My ecstasy.
And Strata doffs her helmet to you.
Wow.
It was so intense, all my eggs have been used.
My uterus has popped inside out, thanks to you. Yeah, no, now it's starting to sound like a disorder.
See, now I'm just trying to think what kind of sound that would make. All right.
Oh, wow,
you're welcome.
That was a small file to download. That just popped right in.
We just
fucking Danny,
see if we can
Davis
pop that right back in.
Somebody fucking asks me what the sound of like a uterus popping inside out is. I'm going to fucking nail him.
Yep. You got him now, buddy.
Like...
It's just for you.
Danny just practices these sound effects at work all day long.
One day they're going to ask
do.
You.
I kind of do.
One very specific sentence that said, I've got it.
He's just sitting here. Okay, so a uterus popping out. What would that sound like?
Gotta get that pop at the end. It's important.
Is it? Would that be a prolapse?
Because they, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Not a good
Can
thing.
You put it back?
Just push it back in. It's like a balloon, right? Just blow on it.
Little known fact about Danny, he got his career started as a Foley artist for Law & Order Special Victims.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. I gotta say, when you said it was like a balloon just blow on it, my mind went to, okay, here's Danny after that didn't work. 911? Yeah, so she just kind of floated around the room making a farting noise. Apparently it's not like a balloon at all.
Yeah. Not like you think.
Where did you last see her? Well, she flew out the window and
well,
headed
east. She hauled ass real fast past the kitchen into the back room. I think we had the window open, so I'm not sure anymore.
She's still on the chandelier. I can't get her to...
If you listen closely, you might be able to hear it.
But her uterus is on the floor, so there's...
Well, no, the uterus is now prehensile. She's hanging from the chandelier. From the...
It's like Spawn's cape.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We'll use her uterus for good or for evil. Tune in Fridays. My executive producer, of course, Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf. For the win.
What character is this? Uterosa?
Uterosa.
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 Menstrata sworn enemy.
Uterosa.
Samantha Stark, I can't write checks fast enough for you. That is
fucking... I'm an ideas girl. Give me the cash.
Uterosa, we meet again.
Cash. Yeah.
Ah! Oh, my God.
Uterosa did a lot of spaghetti westerns.
She was always the one. She was always the one in the shiny, sparkly shirt.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Uterosa.
Heavy flow, heavy sauce that day.
Heavy marinade for sure.
I saw that movie, Heavy Flow Rider. It was
Heavy Flow Rider. Yeah.
Some of Nicholson's finest work, I believe.
The good, the bad, and the moist was really
the moist.
Good.
Ooh, yeah. So tastefully done. So tastefully done.
So did I tell you my story about the bathrobe and the mouse?
Clearly not.
No, please do.
Okay, so I moved out of my buddy's house a little while ago, and before I left, he had a mouse infestation. We lived in like a three-story place. It was a really nice house, but these mice were just fucking, they were everywhere. He had like a big dog food container, so they were constantly getting into there and stuff. So he did not want to kill the mice. Like his ex that had moved out previously, she had laid like traps and like poisons and like fucking punji sticks and shit. Tiny little like mouse-sized punji sticks.
Toothpicks? We call those toothpicks.
Yeah. That's a toothpick.
You figure that would have been smarter, but she would these big stalks of like bamboo and just like, you know,
shaved them every day.
They're just gonna climb over those.
Yeah, it's a tiny little like fences built or whatever.
Little pit drops in the house.
So he got these humane traps that would just kind of like, you know, contain them in this little like plastic box until he would remove them. And then on the fridge, he had a running tally of mice that were freed, because he would then take them across the street and just release them into a cemetery, which is, I don't know, kind of weird and poetic in some kind of fucked up way.
It's a little dick.
Like a mouse in a cemetery.
Well, so, they're just going to run back.
That's
cheating the tally.
Wait until the door closes.
Now!
Go!
Single file, get in there!
Did you think that this was like fucking, what was it? Oh my God, I honey, I shrunk the kids?
No, shit.
The mouse is going to get lost from crossing a fucking street? No, it's a mouse. They can ride motorcycles. They can fucking butcher cats. Mice can do all kinds of crazy
shit. Yeah.
I've seen Tom and Jerry.
I've even seen them get lost and find their way home from like fucking nowhere, man.
Across the country, yeah.
Serious, dude.
Yeah.
Unreal.
They can train turtles in the art of ninjutsu. Like, fucking mice are dangerous.
No. Those are rats.
Those are rats. Let's make sure that there's a quantified difference here. We don't want any of our rat listeners to get offended.
First of fuck of all, so long you orange-skinned God and Savior is still in the goddamn White House, I can talk about rats any way the fuck I want, because that's goddamn American.
No. Okay. That would
if
be...
If rats want to go back to Ratsylvania, or wherever the fuck they're from, by all fucking means. These colors don't run. And this bread doesn't get nibbled on by tiny little foreign teeth.
Well, I would have said that the Cheeto in Chief is definitely a hybrid abomination between a pig and a rat. Yeah.
That's fair assessment.
A prat.
So anyway, he would take these mice across the street and then just release them. And I'm like, dude, do you at least mark them to make sure, like, or number them so that we're like, oh, number 14 came back.
Get me the spray can.
Fucking get Banksy with some fucking stencils or some shit. Like, so on the fucking fridge, he's got this tally and it goes, like, how many mice would you say would constitute an infestation?
Three.
Three? Okay.
Two. Yeah, well, more than two.
He's doing the slashes so that the number can continue to grow.
Oh, Jesus.
So we started off with about five. We'll start with five, okay?
Okay, that's a problem.
That is a problem. So five climbs to 10 and to 15, like, in a weekend.
Ooh.
And so he thinks that he's making progress or some shit, right? Like, he's proud of this. He's like, did you check the tally? I'm like, what, we raising money for fucking, you know, Jerry Lewis Telethon? Fucking hit me with a tippity roll. Ba-da-da.
A call-a-thon.
20 fucking five mice have, like, been.
I'll bet you 20 to nothing says it's the same mice. Five, yeah. They just keep running back into the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's just going to catch me and release me. Watch this, dude. I get a free ride across the street. It's fucking funny. And then I come right back the next day, and he gets me again.
You guys want some food? I'm going to go to the house.
Yeah, I'll be right back, dude. I got a chauffeur.
It's mouse a long walk to chauffeur. The house, but luckily I get taken back.
Yeah, I get a free ride across the street. So, you know, it's fine. It's not any trouble at all.
Yeah, like, picking up the mice, and they've got, like, little workman hats on and, like, little, like, empty, like, lunch pails and shit. Like, they're building stuff in this fucking house.
It's like, oh, boss, it's time to go home today. All right, in the trap. Here we go.
Steam whistle blows. I'm like, where the fuck is this?
Somewhere in the house, there's a mouse car assembly line.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mouse motors or something? Yeah. I don't know. Mouse motors. Rodan Auto, I'm not sure.
They make their own brand of Dodge.
The new Scurry is a phenomenal little car. It's
Scurry and Dodge. You're runs number on one mouse.
You
vehicle.
Haven't driven anything until you've driven the Mouse Motors Nibble.
Nibble. It's okay. The Nibble class.
So here's where it gets weird. All right. So I come home from work one day and I'm tired. I'm like, I'm covered in grease and shit. I gotta get a shower. So, where my room is at the top of the stairs. At the very top, at a 90 degree angle is the door to my room. It's at like the end of the hallway. So that's my room. Now on the other side of the stairwell is the door to the bathroom. So I'm not even like saying like a 2 feet difference between where my door is and where the door is to the bathroom. And I'm the only one in the house, only one in the house. To take that 1.5 steps to get into the bathroom, I, you know, get totally naked and then put on a robe because of body issues. Because, like, paparazzi might pop out and try to get, like, a
yeah, you neck. Never know.
Well, yeah, got to protect yourself, you know?
Jim's, like, in the Sasquatch pose, like, oh?
Damn, pop, that's it.
That was the last time he took a poop out in the woods.
Never forget.
From then on, it's been bathrooms, locked doors.
And bathrobes.
And robes.
Yeah, it's like, get smart. Like, I got to go through this series of, like, ever-increasing.
I really wish I was good at Photoshop. Because
Jim, that's the name of your biography.
Wrong,
big gym Sasquatch pose.
Oh my god.
It did appear on the cover of Pretty and Monthly, so fuck you all. He said it was upskirt. It was tastefully done, I feel.
Tastefully done? Nice, nice.
So, I got a little ahead of myself. I'm in my room, okay, and I am naked, completely head to toe. And I remove my my robe, which is hanging on the door, and I just slide one arm into the sleeve, like you do.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm sure we've all had a moment where you feel something kind of flutter on your arm or your leg, and you think like there's a bug or something on you, and you look down and there's nothing. It's just like some weird thing, like some weird nerve just got triggered. I slide my arm in, and I feel something kind of like on my arm, kind of moving a little bit. I'm like, that's strange. So I slap my hand over it, and I immediately feel something panic next to my naked skin.
Okay.
Now, I should say that I was getting a little ahead of myself because I threw open the door, I threw my arm into the sleeve, and now I'm standing in the hallway, naked, one arm in a sleeve.
And that's when the paparazzi showed up.
A tiny mouse losing its fucking mind on my arm. I'm feeling it, like, squirm and, like, looking for, like, it's like a cave-in shit, and it's trying to find daylight. So I'm standing there trying to figure out what the fuck am I going to do with this mouse in my current situation, because I can't exactly just walk outside, you know, cock-a-wow
it.
You know?
It's seen too much.
It across the street with his friends.
That's what the mouse was thinking.
Exactly. Put it out of its misery, Jim. There's no going back after that, man.
Let this be a lesson to you.
I can't unsee this.
I mean, all the other mice are like, damn, Tim never came back.
Carl died hard.
Carl, tell me about those rabbits.
Stay off the top floor. Whatever you do, stay off the top floor.
He died.
You see things before you die.
Pain is all that awaits you there.
So you've got hold of this mouse.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so I got my one arm in the sleeve. The other arm's clamped on top of it. This thing's flipping out. I'm like, okay, so what are my other options? There's the backyard, but the neighbors on both sides had their little toddlers out for like their whatever. So I'm like, that's out, right? You know, have crazy neighbor man come naked stumbling out like fucking Lenny of Mice and Men.
Well, that's the last time they'll have their kids, you know, be peeping Toms over that fucking fence, I'll tell you that much.
As Jim walks out, according to Megan's Law, I must inform you all, there's a mouse in my sleeve.
No need, bro. Trust me. We got the pamphlets. We've seen the t-shirts, we've been to the website. Trust us, we're well aware of your goings on. So I'm like, all right, I can't flush it down the sewer, because to me that seemed cruel. Unlike being like, you know, stuck to a strange biped's naked body. So in this very like graceful, almost matador-esque way, I managed to whip off the sleeve and throw the sleeve inside out using the hand that had gripped the mouse. So now everything's on the inside out, and I can see the mouse's tail still kind of in my grasp. I'm thinking to myself, okay, so my only option is I got to kill it. How am I going to do it? So I'm like, I don't think waiting for it to die of natural causes is an option. Like, we become friends and start solving mysteries together. Then like, the drug dealer finds out where his mouse family is and has him killed, and then like he goes off on this whole like solo thing, and we don't know if he's going to come back to the force. And then I got to go and talk to him. He's like drunk on his boat, which is a tiny little boat. And I'm standing there.
I would watch this movie.
This movie's badass.
I would watch this.
Well, this movie wasn't an option because I'm fucking naked and I just need to fucking shower because the date sucks. And I can't because I'm living in a goddamn Disney film where the mice are like, oh, we're everywhere. We're sewing up your socks and we're fucking patching up the roof while you're at work and shit. Well, so I'm like, okay, the most humane thing to do to this poor fucking mouse that just wanted to live, but it crossed the wrong motherfucker on the wrong day.
Yeah.
I should probably just, you know, throw it at the ground as hard as I can, and that force would... It's the only thing I could think of. It's the only thing I could think of in the moment. You weren't there. You weren't fucking
Don't
Samantha.
You fucking judge me.
You weren't in that fucking foxhole, soldier. I was.
No. You got your own podcast SD story.
Oh, shit. Post-traumatic mouse disorder. So I'm like, all right, well, I mean, not my ideal form of – oh, that's the part I had left out. My room, like I said, the rest of the house was laid with these like little humane traps. My personal bedroom was a room of death. I had like the old-fashioned, like the wooden snap-closed mouse traps. That had been handed down from – so there was just like generations of dead mouse blood just on these like – these.
That's fucking metal, bro.
Absolutely. And so, like, they would die in my room. I'm like, how am I going to smuggle them out? And so, like, I throw my sandwich lunch bag from that day at work, just toss them in there. Just throw them in the garbage.
Empty them out at work, you know, down your pant leg.
Walk around the yard.
Yeah, just got to walk around the yard.
Dribbling the remains of dead mice in the yard.
Yeah.
Like Shawshank Redemption, like they're in my pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Pull the little tags or whatever, let them, like, desiccate out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like you do.
Mickey Mouse is fucking Andy Dufresne. In
I've seen some shit that you'll never fucking believe.
Huh? The Mouse Shank Redemption.
Mouse Shank Redemption.
This has got potential. Goofy's like.
It'll be on Disney Plus next week.
Wow.
Baby Yoda's the fucking the prison.
The warden.
Warden? Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to tell you the nephews left Mickey alone.
Oh, gosh. That's it. So, narrated Goofy as Red.
So if we can get back, I'm still naked in the hallway, mouse in hand. Like, the only way out that I can think of would be to just, you know, whip it at the ground. So I'm like, all right. And so I, in my head, I actually counted to three, and I just threw it as hard as I possibly could. And I realized that at some point, I kind of squished it. So I'm now just crazy naked man in a hallway throwing a dead mouse at his roommate's bedroom door.
And here's the pitch.
You know, and I can think like Bob Uecker just like, yo, Big Jim had a great offseason with the Dominican League. Let's see what he can do here.
Outside. Big Jim winds up, and there's the pitch.
High and outside on the door, little bit of blood left on the seam. The doorknob will never be the same again.
Somewhere I have a picture of, they relate the story to my roommate because he was wondering, hey, Jim, what's with the mouse guts on my door? And it's an old Jewish tradition.
It was a fucking message.
You are going to laugh.
I was saving you from God's extinction.
And your shit, there I was.
Clearly Pickle Rick was here, and now you're putting this fucking shame on me? Fuck you.
I'm protecting you from creeping death.
God.
We didn't have a lamb, so I used a mouse.
I used what we had, okay? And we have a lot, according to your tally.
That song would be way different.
I raised a tiny, tiny demon, okay? Didn't need a whole lot of the sacrifice category.
Did not specify on size of life.
Do you know
needed.
How hard it is to find a virgin mouse?
Dude, seriously, yeah. Those fucking
you
things get around.
Oh, really? Hard? Get a fucking robe, bitch, and they're fucking everywhere.
So he had a virgin mouse. So as I understand this, Jim is a virgin mouse massacre as a naked man running around in half a robe on his body. I'm not going to lie, bud. This isn't painting you very well.
This is going to make an amazing biography one day.
No shit.
The serial killer Big Jim, his first victim he found in his robe.
The wee mouse that he crushed and then threw the deceased mouse's body against his roommate's door to spatter
when they catch
the remains.
Big Jim and he goes on trial in mouse court.
He came on to me! Bad touch! Bad touch!
Self-defense!
One day,
I was naked and he was all over me. It was weird.
One mouse is going to escape and run to the mouse cops. And they're going to go back to Jim's place and they're going to find mice guts in the refrigerator.
Magazines full of bastard.
And for some reason, a clown costume in his closet.
There's a reason.
He's no longer wearing bathrobes anymore. He learned. He learned.
You get more mice wearing a clown outfit.
The baggy pants really pack them in, you know?
Mrs. Leeds before, Mrs. Leeds becoming, do you see?
His killer handle is Willard.
First of all,
would you nibble me? I'd nibble me.
No, we'd call you Willie. Yeah, we call you Willie because it's mice. It's not rats. So, yeah, you're Willie. Willie the Big Jim Clown.
First of all, that mouse died so that I could summon the demon of a lost sneeze. That's just not a horrible pox to put on somebody, but it's noticeable and it's annoying.
It's uncomfortable.
Somewhere, someone is sneezing right now. Probably Don Frost.
What the fuck, Jim?
Well, I was just about to say, it's this kind of Fox News false news impersonation of the actual facts that led me to sue fucking Harrison Ford in the first goddamn place.
I mean, he had it coming. I mean, clearly.
Oh.
So now I kill mice to deal with the fact that I was touched by a superstar.
Yeah. We get it, dude. You're grade A path psychopath right now, Jim. You're on the road to bettering yourself your method.
As he was crushing the mice, he was extolling the virtues of Huey Lewis in the news.
You did this
sports.
To me!
Sports is where they really came into their...
And Bob Uecker is constantly his puka in his head. Well, Jim, you got another small little mouse there. What are you gonna do about it?
Find the rest!
This here little fella here gonna cleanse the earth of all the sinners. That's what we're gonna do.
And a big swing and a miss there, Jim. You didn't get them all, but next time, buddy. Next time.
Every time you hear a bell ring, Jim has killed another mouse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't go near Vegas. You see any mice in Vegas?
A small squeak somewhere dies. Like I'm hearing 1,000 voices cry all at once. And then silence.
You can feel the awkwardness when I walk into a Chuck E. Cheese.
It's like he fucking knows, man.
He's banned from every Disney store, park, everything.
For different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
This is just adding to it. We don't need another... reprisal of Sasquatch in Disneyland, you know?
Huh? Which, by the way, Samantha, again, gets the title Sasquatch Pose. It really wins the day.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You sure it's not always smooth for Jim?
No, that's just for our fun.
It's fair. That's fair.
That's just for his ringtone.
Every time he gets a message, it's always wet for Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been a great episode.
Yeah.
Seriously, Jim, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And for keeping it a secret, I had no idea he was calling.
I really didn't either.
I look up and it's like, will you accept this call from Big Jim? Fuck real.
Well, I just saw something flash across the screen, and my first thought was, don't lose the recording.
Oh, fingers crossed.
You know, shit. Fucking save it, James.
Oh, fuck.
James just goes, oh, my gosh, you guys, hold on. And then I see this thing on hold, and I'm like, what?
I thought it would just bring him in. Usually when we get stuff like that, it just brings him in. So I was like, wait, it just put fucking Samantha on hold. But we've got fucking Big Jim.
Yeah. You know, I'm good.
Just leave me on hold on the other line.
Sam's over there like, fuck you guys. I don't even want to be on your stupid fucking show.
Guys aren't woke, Samantha. They're not woke.
Clearly. They're not. They're the least woke.
Still asleep.
Yep. Comfortably snoozing. Thank you very much. Comfortably snoozing. You assholes can be awoke.
Shockingly mouse-free.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.